The Tom Woods Show, episode 1897.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, Tom Woods here. We've had an announcement from the CDC. I'm going to work my way up to that. And I'm going to do that by going through some items that I've been reading and commenting on in the past few days, because they actually culminate in this decision by the CDC, basically saying to people that if you've been vaccinated, you can go back to the activities you were doing before the pandemic. That's basically the message, not just about masks. They said you don't have to worry about distancing or crowd size or whatever. So all of a sudden, they went from, I don't know about the vaccines, to now, yes, the vaccines are going to give you everything back. What was interesting about this to me is that when that statement was made on Twitter, when they issued it, the CDC issued it as a tweet, the comments were just out of this world crazy. Because, of course, you have all these people whose whole identities now, you know, have to do with wearing masks and being 6 feet away and being fanatics, and you're taking that away from them? No. And, you know, Steve Dace, whom I've had on the show before, who did that book Fauci and Bargain, had a good response to this. He said, you know, nice going, CDC. The zombies you've created are not going to go back to being normal people that easily. He said, it's like the Wizard of Oz dealing with a bunch of people who really believe in him and then coming out from behind the curtain and trying to send them back to their homes and to their lives, but they all refuse to do it because they still insist on following him as the wizard. It's a similar thing here. We still want to follow these crazy restrictions, even though you've told us they're not necessary. And even though up to now we've been following these things because of what you've said. But now we realize it's not really because of what you say. It's because we're just addicted to this. It gives our pointless lives meaning. And so we just have to persist in it. So if you ever thought any of these people were motivated by science, that's long, long gone, long gone. We got people who still think it makes sense to wear masks outdoors. I don't think it makes sense to wear them anywhere, but outdoors in particular. The New York Times just the other day had an article saying that the CDC has been grossly exaggerating the likelihood of outdoor transmission. They say that the CDC has been throwing around this figure of 10%. 10% of the transmission of the virus has been occurring outdoors. And the Times said, quite correctly, by the way, that this would be like saying sharks kill fewer than 20,000 swimmers a year. I mean, that is technically true, but the actual number is 150. So to say fewer than 20,000 is obviously misleading in the same way that less than 10% is misleading. It's a fraction of 1%, and even these are controversial. The New York Times says that the kind of typical interactions people have outdoors, you know, walking by each other, there's not one documented case anywhere in the world of anyone getting the virus this way. And yet, the so-called party of science consists of people who scowl at you on the street because you're walking by them without a mask, or they're hurriedly crossing the street. These are the people who've been spraying Lysol on their vegetables and on their mail and whatever, even though over and over we've been told by reputable people that contaminated surfaces is not how this thing is transmitting. I don't know what to say about them, but almost everything they've been up to, little by little, there's finally been an admission from people with at least some shred of dignity that, okay, this was wrong, or this thing we just made up or whatever. But you got some people who are just sticking to it. They're just sticking to it the whole way. So I want to kind of go back now. So now we've started with this, but I kind of want to build back up to it by going back a few days and looking at some interesting news items where we were indeed finding some fairly extreme hesitancy to return to normal life on the part of the vaccinated. So that once you consume some of the material that I've been reading about this topic, it comes as no surprise that when even the CDC says, look, if you're vaccinated, you can do X, Y, and Z, you would be met with resistance. So in other words, now I'm connecting the dots between public opinion polling from just a few days ago and these crazy Twitter responses to the CDC saying, over my dead body will I ever, I don't know, whatever, come out of my house or heaven forbid, go to a concert or whatever. So in particular, something called Morning Consult has a return to normal poll, and it returned such interesting results. Let me just eyeball this. I would say that they picked out about 20 different ordinary human activities, everything from riding on a train to attending a concert or a work conference or dining in a restaurant or socializing in public places or going on a date or renting a car, going to a wedding, whatever, a lot of these sorts of things. And in every single case, people who are vaccinated said in this poll that they were less likely to do these things than unvaccinated people. So in other words, for example, I'll give you an example. Taking a bus. 37% of the unvaccinated say they have no problem taking a bus, but only 24% of the vaccinated said they would take a bus. Or going to an amusement park, for heaven's sake. 47% of the unvaccinated say they would have no problem going to an amusement park, but only 30% of the vaccinated say they would be comfortable doing so. Now, I think part of the explanation for this anomalous result is that people who got the vaccine are in general going to tend to be more risk averse. And so I think that goes with taking the vaccine. But maybe risk averse is too charitable a term here, because I think in some cases, just a complete inability to weigh likely outcomes. It's a complete inability to make rational judgments with regard to what is overwhelmingly likely and overwhelmingly unlikely. I mean, to me, the interesting thing about this poll is how few people in either category are willing to do these things. The activity that the highest percentages were willing to engage in, they would engage in feeling fully comfortable, was dining at a restaurant. And I found that interesting because indoor dining has been demonized this entire time, and Dr. Fauci has singled it out as one of the handful of things he definitely would not do. And yet, oddly enough, we have 56% of the vaccinated and 63% of the unvaccinated say that they would be comfortable dining in a restaurant. So when you look at these sorts of attitudes, I guess it really should not come as a surprise that the CDC would get such a bizarre result when they make this announcement. Now, the current CDC head, Rochelle Walensky, has been very interesting to observe in all this, because she went from, 6 to 8 weeks ago, saying that she had a feeling of impending doom. And now she's got a video saying, okay, if you've been vaccinated, you can go right back to your life. And, you know, and she's far more confident. I don't know what happened. What the heck happened during this time? Meanwhile, Michael Osterholm, you remember him? This is the guy from, he's been a Biden advisor on the virus. And he said in January, the next 6 to 14 weeks are going to be the worst days of the pandemic. And, well, it's more than 14 weeks since then, and cases are down by at least 73%, if not more. No one's following up with him. No one's saying, well, gee, how did you get that so wrong? I mean, no one's perfect, but how did you get that so wrong? And in fact, Osterholm said, I will publicly cheer and publicly celebrate if I turn out to be wrong. I so hope I'm wrong. Now, I could be wrong about this, folks. Maybe somebody did track him down and he has publicly cheered, but to my knowledge, no one's followed up with him on that. Nobody thought that would be worth doing. No reporter thought that would be a question worth asking. Now, I've been spending some time this week in the Florida panhandle, and I can tell you that things are going back to normal quite rapidly here, much more so even than in Central Florida where I live. The panhandle is just different. I had a nice dinner with Tho Bishop and his wife. I had Tho on the show just last week, and that was in Panama City Beach. And the restaurant where we ate has a sign saying, just so you know, our staff is no longer required to wear masks. Now, if that really makes you uncomfortable, one of them will wear a mask around you, but this is not our general policy. What? This is not a sign that I'm accustomed to seeing. And I would say more people are unmasked than not. Outdoor masking is almost non-existent. But when I was shopping at Publix, which is a grocery store chain around here, it was more than 50% of the people unmasked. Same with Target, you know, which has the big sign on the door. And people were just walking around unmasked, just back to their lives. And I, you know, of course, I'm sitting here thinking, because I think about this 24 hours a day, I'm very, very consciously aware of the fact that I'm unmasked right now. But I bet most of the people walking around without masks are not consciously thinking about it. They made a decision at some point, realizing nothing seems to happen when you go unmasked. There's no mass death event. So I think I've done everything I can do at this point. I've sacrificed everything I can sacrifice. I've acted unlike a human being for however many months, and now I'm just not doing that anymore. Or maybe it was even more simple than that. I just don't like wearing this thing. I'm not going to do it. And it doesn't seem like anything happens when I take it off. There's no difference in outcome, whether we wear it or not. There's no health difference in Florida between the panhandle and the rest of the state, as there should be. I should be tripping over dead bodies all over the panhandle, and I'm not. So for those people who've been worried that, well, we'll just never, ever get back to normal, I understand that kind of discouragement, but I'm right this minute recording this for you, surrounded by people who have gone back to normal. They absolutely have. And there's no social distancing going on. None of this nonsense is going on here. People are just living their lives, and the hospitals are not overwhelmed. None of the scaremongering scenarios that we were told about, none of these are taking place. Now, I got some more things I want to tell you about, but first, let me take a minute to make a strong recommendation to you to check out my friends at Merck Investments. Because if you feel like some of our folks are always bearish and there's always a stock market crash around the corner and you're hearing that every day for the last 10 years, well, our friends over at Merck Research give you unbiased monthly analysis on the economy and the stock market. And so what you're going to get is a consistent set of easy-to-read charts and frameworks with written analysis. And in these monthly reports, you get an intellectually consistent view of the market and the economy. You can download the PDF chart books with analysis or watch the video voiceover walkthrough. And their goal is to help you better understand what's really going on and ultimately to help you make better investment decisions. These days, so much of financial media has become just fear-mongering clickbait. So if you're tired of just nonstop doom and gloom, and by the way, maybe long-term, there is reason for doom and gloom. But that doesn't mean that in every single short to medium run, it's all doom and gloom and you should just sit on your cash. That's not necessarily the case. So if what you want is an objective and insightful summary of what's going on in the market and the economy, then check out tomwoods.com/research for a no-risk 3-month free trial. And after that, it's just $20 a month. So tomwoods.com/research. All right, let's get back to this whole thing. Don Boudreau, who has also been a guest on the Tom Woods Show, is a professor of economics at George Mason University. And in line with this whole thing about vaccinated people still being terrified, he shared something on his Cafe Hayek blog. It's an email he got from a reader, and the email runs as follows. Experience of one of my daughters with her longtime friend, which she abbreviates as LTF, this weekend, which is very disturbing. We own a second house in Aiken, South Carolina. This daughter is an equestrian. South Carolina is now fully open, and Aiken lifted all mask mandates just this past week. With college classes over, my daughter and her longtime friend made a weekend trip there. Sounds like fun, right? My daughter made dinner reservations, and another friend invited them to see live music outside. It is important to note that my daughter has one shot of the vaccine and that her LTF not only had COVID, but is fully vaccinated, and the friend they're meeting had COVID, and they're all under 25, so already not at great risk. They're about to enter the restaurant when LTF has a panic attack, starts crying, and declares that she cannot enter the restaurant because people are dining inside. LTF then declares that she also cannot go to the music event because there will be crowds there. LTF has become so terrified of other human beings that despite being immunized, she cannot fathom living life normally. LTF is convinced that all the non-mask wearing people are going to infect her, and despite the fact that she, her parents, and her grandparents are all vaccinated, she's going to carry the illness to them and kill them. This is mental illness. This is what we've done to our young people. It is heartbreaking. Every time I share, now this is me talking again. Every time I share a story like that, I get 100 more in my inbox from people. So yes, I don't want to be too optimistic and say that the whole country will instantaneously be like the Florida panhandle. But I use the panhandle for those who are in deep despair to say that eventually you hit a critical mass and people do just change. They do go back to it. And that will happen. Now, incidentally, it seems as if all of a sudden the idea of wearing masks outdoors just became very unpopular among the establishment. I don't know how or why that happened. It's almost like it was coordinated. I'm not saying it was, but if it were coordinated, it would look exactly as it did. Because all of a sudden we were reading articles like, yeah, of course it's dumb to wear masks outdoors. And I remember seeing people on Twitter saying, yeah, I never wore a mask outdoors. And then one of them, they found a tweet of his in which he's saying, yes, you're darn right, I am jogging outside with a mask. Okay, but then suddenly it became like, oh yeah, well, I have to pretend like I never favored this stupid policy. So all of a sudden, everybody's against masking outdoors. So, you know, you start to see things like that. Or an article that I commented on in my newsletter, which you should check out. You can get it at, what's the best way to get it? chartstheyforgot.com, because you'll enjoy the ebook you get when you join the list at chartstheyforgot.com. Get on my mailing list. You're going to love the stuff I send you. But I commented on an article that appeared in The Atlantic about progressives who just can't seem to let go of lockdown and who clearly are not believing scientific things anymore. I couldn't believe The Atlantic ran this article, but they're saying, yeah, at this point, we have to admit that some people who are on the extreme lockdown side have just left reason behind. They've just left science behind, and they're just clinging to these restrictions for whatever crazy reason, but they definitely cannot claim the high ground, the scientific high ground at this point. So that was very interesting to read. So you start to hear these sorts of things. You hear the consensus forming in the media about outdoor masking. You figure that's at least something. Then this article in The Atlantic and all this sort of thing. You think, oh, I don't know, maybe they're all coming around. And then, just as you're starting to think that, a couple of days ago, Raw Story, which is a website you probably know, came out with an article called "The Data Is In and It's Damning. States Led by GOP Governors Had Higher COVID-19 Death Rates in 2020. Well, I'm interested to see this article and how they argue that. Well, it turns out that even though with an article like that, you would expect to see some analysis of the data from all of 2020, or at least starting in March when we were really paying attention. So March 2020 to the end of 2020, and they're going to compare red versus blue states. But no, actually, they compared the states just from the beginning of June through the beginning of September. So their article about death rates in 2020 from COVID-19 is actually not about death rates from COVID-19 in 2020. It's about death rates from COVID-19 in a weirdly specific three-month period of 2020. So there's no reason to do a study like that. Why would you single out a particular three-month period? And of course, the headline is totally misleading. So it turns out that the three-month period they picked just happens to be a period where, yeah, it does look like the blue states are doing a bit better. But they don't look at the time before that where the blue states were doing so dramatically worse. This kind of stuff has been going on through the whole thing. This kind of stuff where they'll claim that masks work, but yeah, because they cut off the study just before the numbers skyrocketed. Every single time, that's what they do. Case after case, they've got this alleged mask study, and then it always leaves out, oh yeah, the graph then went vertical, but we don't think it's important to tell you about that. It really, really is nuts out there, but I am glad to have the audience that I have of folks who are just ready to live and have been ready to live this whole time and who are rational and who can listen to opposing views or, let's say, non-establishment views. And my gosh, it's like we're being vindicated on every single one of them. Because even Osterholm now is saying, look, anybody who thinks he has an explanation for why Iowa drops its restrictions and does fine and Michigan keeps locked up and does badly, he says, don't trust them because we don't know. We really don't know what the explanation for this is. And he's been the best among the crazies in being willing to be agnostic on some things. He's been the best because he will say, you know, this doesn't seem to make sense according to what we think we know. Okay, so that means maybe what you think you know just ain't so. Maybe you need to know more before you can make dogmatic statements about ruining everybody's lives because it doesn't seem to have done any good. And he seems to get that now, but he can't fully explain it. But anyway, I'm just glad that I've managed to, build like a little community around my podcast where people share the episodes and my newsletters. And we've got our group, the supporting listeners at supportinglisteners.com have access to. And, you know, we've built up, I think, a pretty good amount of data and evidence and whatever. And I know some people aren't responsive to that, but I'm thinking about the long term here. I'm thinking about 10 years from now, 20, 100 years from now, when people look back on this, it cannot be Dr. Fauci saved 2 million lives or something. We cannot let that happen. We just have to overwhelm them with the charts and the evidence. And that's why I supported that documentary project that I told you about, that we interviewed the documentary filmmakers who are going to do a great job telling the real story, because people need to have this story told in movie form, basically, in film. So I supported that project. You know, this is all I can do as one person. This is all I can do, is just learn and write and speak and encourage others who have talents that I don't have to use those talents in the service of the truth. Now, one other thing I want to tell you about related to this that I've mentioned briefly, but I really, really want to emphasize, because I think you guys are really going to enjoy it, and it's something that doesn't cost you anything either. I got an email 3 or 4 weeks ago asking me if I would appear in a documentary called Endgame about not just the virus, but the crazy economic policies around the world, the civil liberties violations, all the problems we have with big tech, you know, the problems with education, and how do you get your kids educated without having them propagandized? And, you know, where does this all end, and where's it all going, and what should we be doing as individuals? So they thought that I might have a little something to say about this, and I'll give you a hint. I had a little bit to say about it. So they had me on as one of the people, and they interviewed each one of the people for the documentary one at a time. And when it came time, there were two possible openings, because there was a week that I was just unavailable. The next week, they had two possible openings, a Monday and a Tuesday. The Monday, I was so sick. It was unbelievable. I was so feverish. I could barely function. I had the chills. It was awful. So I had to actually cancel, and I didn't want to do that. I thought, that's my only chance to do it. And they said they could do it the next day. So the next day, I felt like 18% better. So I went on camera. I mean, like, I'm as white as a ghost, and I'm feverish and feeling terrible. But I'll tell you something, doggone it. All that aside, I brought my A game to this thing, and I think you're going to like what I had to say about all this, about what people should do. You know, what can we do? What exactly, what's the nature of what we're facing, and what should we do? And that's what the whole series is about. So the way it works is, as with their other series, which I've enjoyed, they've done series on wine, for example, where they have experts on wine and people who make wine all over the world, and they interview them and all that. They've done one on money, and so they've taken successful people like John Mackey from Whole Foods, and, you know, how did you get your start, and how did you succeed, and what were the mistakes you made, and stuff like that. So they do all different, they've done all different topics. I think they've done one on also on pain management, so it's all different sorts of topics. But this one is really, you know, this is the thing, Endgame, right? So the way it works is you can watch the whole series for free, but you have to register to watch it in advance. And then they start releasing the episodes one day at a time. And as somebody who opted in to watch it, you get to watch them for free. They will later sell it as a set, but you can watch it for free as long as you opt in on time. So make sure and do that over at tomwoods.com/endgame, and then you won't have to pay anything. And then you can watch the old man here as one of the interviewees. But I think you're going to find there's a lot of valuable information in that documentary. That's one thing I want to tell you about. A second thing I wanted to tell you about involves my 2000th episode event. I won't spend much time on this because I know you've heard it before, but if you've missed it, my 2000th episode is coming up October 16th, and I'm having a huge event to celebrate this. The event will be the 2000th episode, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be literal fun and games. That is exactly what it's going to be, in front of a live audience with some of your favorite guests from the Tom Woods Show. Michael Malice says that you're going to need, you know how if there's an emergency on the plane and they lose cabin pressure and those face masks come down, you're supposed to put them on to breathe through. He says the audience is going to need those when they see what I'm doing at the Tom Woods 2000th episode. He won't even tell me what he's doing. So this is going to be an absolute blast, and you're going to be surrounded by like-minded, good, decent people, non-propagandized people, and it's going to be a wonderful time. So do not miss it. The 2000th episode event is going to be extraordinary. You're going to love it. So the website is TomWoods2000.com, not TomWoods.com/2000. TomWoods2000.com doesn't cost anything to attend, does not cost you anything to attend. But do please register for my sake. So go do that. And then the third thing I want to tell you about is actually a listener website. Now, I happen to like going around wearing things that indicate what I think and what I like. I mean, at least in some settings. So when Ivor Cummins told me about a t-shirt that he had that says "Lockdowns Destroy Lives," I immediately bought one. Like, it had to be shipped to me from Europe, but I bought one, doggone it, and I wear that thing, absolutely. Well, if you're like me and you like to sort of spread the word and get right in people's faces, then you're going to want some Liberty gear. And I genuinely recommend libertygear.net, because there you'll find t-shirts, mugs, posters, all these sorts of things that will tell the world where you stand. They'll have Ron Paul on them. They'll have Lysander Spooner on them. If somebody recognizes Lysander Spooner on your shirt, you just made a friend for life. This is your way of conveying to the world, you know, I'm somebody who's really knowledgeable and well-read, and I believe the following things, and you can just make instant friends just that way. Who knows? Maybe you'll even find somebody you wind up marrying, for heaven's sake. Who even knows? But it's all these sorts of wonderful things and messages, beautifully designed. You'll just love them. And they are a way of saying, this is what I believe. You can even find some Vermin Supreme merchandise here. It's all, there is no discrimination going on at libertygear.net. All different kinds of liberty voices are represented there, and you'll just love it. And it's a Tom Woods Show listener who created the site. So check that out at libertygear.net. And remember that if you would like to get some publicity for a site you're thinking of creating, make sure you get your hosting through my link, and I'll help you out with that and with other bonuses that will really help you right out of the gate and won't cost you a cent. So if you want to know how I can help you, check out TomWoods.com/publicity. All right, that is going to do it for today and for this week. So I really, really, really hope you'll join me at the 2000th episode. We're going to have so much fun. We had a big crowd last year, last time we did this 4 years ago for the 1000th episode. Even though we had to reschedule it because of a hurricane, we still had a great turnout. Well, this year, I'm going to assume no rescheduling will be necessary, and I think it's going to be bigger and better. So make sure you show up for that. TomWoods2000.com. See you next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.